tonight we're looking at another topic, one that I don't preach on very often, that's for sure, but on dancing. What's the Bible say about dancing? It's good for us to know what the Bible says about these various topics. It's helpful for us. Boys, whatever you got left over, you can just give to Mrs. Childs there, or I'll give them to me. Doesn't matter. There you go. Thanks. Appreciate that, guys. Thanks for your help. Yes, second page has got lots for us to look at. Okay, so let's start on the first page, though, before we get into the second page. According to the dictionary, to dance is to move one's feet or body or both rhythmically in a pattern of steps, especially to accompaniment of music. Second definition is to leap, to skip, etc., as from excitement or emotion. Move nimbly and quickly, or quickly. The second definition is really more closely describes the dances in the Bible. You look up the word dance in the Bible, and you'll get a definition very similar to that second definition, not the first one. Now, as we study the subject of dancing, here are some thoughts that we need to ponder. All right. Immodesty, showmanship, and sensual movements are factors that make dancing ungodly, even in so-called worship dancing. Well, there's a lot of churches today that are getting into what they call worship dancing, or they're all, you know, parading up in front and dancing along. And a lot of times, there's a lot of immodesty, there's showmanship, and essential movements and stuff, even in that. So, you know, that's something we need to consider as we're considering the subject. Whether a woman is dancing to entertain, or an unmarried couple is dancing together, such dancing promotes sensual emotions and that God says we are to flee. Okay, so another truth that we need to consider as we study the subject. In modern culture, difficult dance styles, particularly in the nightclubs, are indecent. Some movements are explicitly sexual in nature and demonstrate a lack of morality that is exasperated by rhythmic sensual movement. This has no place for the Christian who is exemplifying modesty and propriety, or appropriateness. And there were other quotes that I had that didn't seem to really be appropriate even to quote, describing some of the dances of the modern world. It's just disgusting. Is God glorified when our children wiggle their hips to dance, to show excitement, pride, or to be silly, as do secular dancers? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What about ballet? Is it modest? Does it glorify God or the dancer? These are all things we need to consider and think about as we study the subject. Is there any kind of dancing that is okay for a Christian? Before you make that decision, examine the Bible references to dancing and ask yourself several important questions. Now turn the page. I'm going to need your help looking up verses. We've got lots of verses here to look at. And so if you are willing to take one, why don't we just assign some of the verses right now, and you can look them up, and then when it's your turn, we'll have you help me with that, okay? So, volunteers, Gerhard, why don't you take the first one? Sean, you can take Exodus 32:19. Monica, Judges 11:34. Melody, Judges 21:21 and 23. Any other volunteers? No. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Inica, 1 Samuel 18:6. And I'll read one here, and then we'll pick up from there. Okay, so I'm making a note here. That one's mine. Okay, we'll start out with the, what we're doing is we're looking at these, and you'll see, you know, you'll understand what I'm talking about here. Exodus chapter 15:20. Yeah.
And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel, in her hand, and all the women went up after her with timbrels and with dancing.
Okay, we asked the question, who danced? It was Miriam and all the women. Okay, and the occasion, it was when God brought them over the Red Sea. They were rejoicing. And then how did they dance? They were spinning around. Now, you don't see this from the English here, but I looked up the Hebrew words. And the Hebrew word that was used here means to spin around in joy. And in this case, they were using timbrels. Timbrels is a tambourine type of a thing. Okay, and the purpose was to praise God. And so as we look at all these examples, it'll help us to understand how it is used. Exodus 32:19. Sean?
And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount.
Okay, so this is a situation when, remember, Moses went up on the mountain, and the people talked to Aaron, and he said, bring all your gold, and we'll throw it in the fire, and out jumped this calf, you know, according to Aaron. And they were all dancing around the calf. And remember, what did they call the calf? Jehovah. They called the calf Jehovah. They were worshiping. They said they were worshiping Jehovah, but they were dancing around this calf. They wanted to see what it was like, what God was like, I guess. And so their purpose of doing it was still the right purpose. Their purpose was to praise God according to what they said. But in reality, it didn't turn out that way. Again, they were used the word to spin around. But you read the whole context, they were naked and uncovered. Not a good situation. Didn't sound like the same kind of dance that Miriam was doing.
They kind of thought they were praising God.
They did. That's what they claimed.
Well, not dancing like that, though.
That is true, but I mean, you look at some of these religious churches that are doing the same kind of thing. The women are up there with not enough on, and they're dancing around, and the guys are sitting there lusting after them, and they're supposed to be glorifying God too.
They also kind of thought they were praising the one true God if they're building a building.
I know there's a lot of confusion there. So it just shows us that people's outward doesn't always show what's inward, or the other way around. And it's confusing in those kind of situations. All right, the next one is in Judges 11:34.
Jephthah came to Mizpah, unto his house, and his daughter went out to meet him with trembling and with dance, and she was his only child, besides he had neither son nor daughter.
Okay, the situation, if you don't know the story about Jephthah and his daughter. Jephthah was a man who was a Gileadite, and they hired him to be the captain of their army, and he went off to battle, and he said, now God, you know, please give me victory. And he said, now God, if you give me the victory, when I get back home, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll sacrifice to you. I mean, I'm thinking, what a dumb thing to say. What do you think was going to come out of his house? His dog? I don't know what he thought was going to come out of the house, but he gets back home, and the first thing that comes out to meet him is his daughter. Now, you read that story, and there's all kinds of commentators' disputes on this. Did he really kill his daughter in a sacrifice, or didn't he? I don't know, but remember, what was the time that this happened? During the Judges. They were doing a lot of things. Remember, what's the key phrase in the Judges? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. All right? And so they did all kinds of crazy things they thought was right. So my guess is, and this is just my opinion, I may be wrong, I think he did. I think he sacrificed her. A terrible thing. But so she came out, that's the rest of the story. But the context we're looking at here tonight, she came out with dances to meet her father. Now, why was she dancing? She was dancing to rejoice that God had given him the victory. So it was, again, to praise God. And we don't see anything wrong with the dance. It was, again, just spinning around with a timbrel. So it wasn't necessarily a bad dance. It was just an unfortunate situation. The whole context of it was an unfortunate situation. And he was very sad and brokenhearted that she came out to meet him. All right, the next one, Judges 21:21. Mel?
And see and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife, of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them.
Okay, again, what book is this in? Judges. They're doing things according to their own thinking, not according to God's thinking. So what had happened, remember, there was a man who, his concubine was abused by a bunch of the Benjamites until she died. And so he took her home, cut her up in pieces, and sent her all over the nation and said, everybody that gets a piece of this, you better come to me right away because we're going to deal with this. Gross thing to do. But they all came in fear, and they all came for battle, and they all then fought against Benjamin. And they destroyed the Benjamites until there was only 600 men left. They killed all the rest of the Benjamites, only 600 men. And they killed all the women, all the children, all the Benjamites. They killed them because of this terrible thing that they did, because the Benjamites were defending this terrible bunch of people that abused this woman. And so the rest of the people said, well, what are we going to do? We've already vowed that we won't give any of our daughters to these Benjamites because they're so wicked. What are we going to do? And so they said, again, the judges' time, they said, well, we're going to have, there's going to be dance to the Lord the daughters of Shiloh are going to be dancing to the Lord in this feast, and you just go along in there and catch you all one of these young women and take her home and she can be your wife. And a real corny way of doing things, but that's what they did. Alright, and I'm not saying God's justifying this, he just told us what happened. But again, their purpose for the dance was to glorify the Lord. It was a dance for honoring the Lord. It was just spinning and twirling, and it was a feast to the Lord. But the circumstances around it were kind of really off the wall when you look at the book of Judges. So that gives you, you know, the situation that takes place there. Okay? And 1 Samuel 18:6.
And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music.
Okay, so here's the situation. David and Saul and their armies went out to battle, and when they came home, it was a traditional thing that they, if they came home in victory, that all the women would go out there with singing and dancing. Remember, it's leaping and spinning around. They're just jumping for joy. They're all excited. Our soldiers are coming home. We won the battle. It's a victory. And this is the time when they said David had won, got killed his, or Saul has killed his thousands, David had killed his 10,000s. And that just started all the trouble for David. All right, because then Saul got jealous, and then he starts hunting David. And for the next several years, David's a fugitive and running away from Saul. But nonetheless, their purpose there was to honor David, or honor the king, and David was the primary one that they were doing that to. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and verse number 11, give me a second there, been busy taking care of the other things. 21 and verse number 11, it says, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of Israel? Did not they sing one to another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? So this is just a reference to it. But all these verses on your chart here are all the verses in the Bible that mention dancing. All right, and so this is just one of them. Again, the women are singing, praising David for his victories in army. Okay, let's start it over again. Garrett, why don't you take 1 Samuel 29:5, and Sean, you can take 1 Samuel 30:16, and Melody, you can take this one. There's two of them there. 2 Samuel 6, and then Monica, if you want to take 1 Chronicles 15:29, and then Inika, you can take Job 21:11. Job 21:11. Okay, and then I'll take the Psalm 30. Okay, so back where we were. All right, 1 Samuel 29:5.
Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000?
Okay, exact same thing, just a different passage that they were honoring David. 1 Samuel 30:16.
And when they had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah.
Okay, now this is a different situation. This was a time, remember, when David was living in Ziklag. And as David lived in Ziklag with his 600 or so men that he had, they had gone off, and this was a time when David really got himself in a big mess, because he was deceiving Achish, king of the Philistines, and making him think that he was his friend when he really wasn't. And Achish and all the Philistines were going into battle with Israel. So David's trooping off to go to battle against his own people. And the God got him out of that by having the rest of them say, hang on now, we're not going to let this guy go to battle with us. And Achish says, oh yeah, but he's my friend, and he does it, and he's been so good to me. And, you know, David had really fooled him. So anyway, David's kicked out, and says, go back home. So David heads back to Ziklag. But while they've been gone during these several days, during this episode, the Amalekites had come and destroyed Ziklag, burned it to the ground, stole everything that was in it, all of David's family, all these other men's families, everything they owned was all taken, and the Amalekites took it off. And so they're down there partying, and David and his men go to travel after them, and they find a slave that was left for dead, and they nourished him back to health, and he said, I'll lead you to the people. And he led them down there, and here they find, and this is what Sean just read, they found the people dancing and partying and having a big party there. The word that is used here is a different word. It means a feast or a celebration, perhaps dancing. The Hebrew word doesn't even insist that it's a dance, but it's just a big party, a big drunken party, probably was what it was. And they were celebrating the great spoil that they took from Ziklag and the other cities. Okay, so this was the situation there. 2 Samuel 14 and 16.
And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with linen ephod. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart.
Okay, here's the situation. This is the time when David was taking up the ark to Jerusalem. And as they were moving it along, David was joined the other people that were rejoicing and dancing. Now, the reason Michal, Saul's daughter, was upset was because, remember, she was Saul's daughter. Saul had been the king, so she's royalty herself. And she sees David out there, instead of wearing his kingly gown, he just put on normal clothes like everybody else, just a linen ephod. And he's out there with the rest of them, leaping and jumping and joying and praising God for the fact that the ark's coming. And she says, yeah, you just look like everybody else. You're just exposing yourself out there like all the rest of them, you know, instead of wearing your kingly clothes. And so she was really upset with him because of that, and God brought problems into her life because of that. But that was the situation. So they were leaping and praising God. Again, it's the leaping, whirling in a circle type. This is a slightly different word, but it just means to leap and to whirl in circles. Okay, so they were praising God again at this time. Then in 1 Chronicles, let me see, where are we at here? Yeah, 1 Chronicles 15. Yes, Monica.
And the same was, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, with him,
okay, so this is the same thing. Samuel has it in one way, Chronicles has it in another. Remember the who? All right, let's just go back in a little history a little bit. When was Chronicles written? Oh, I'll have to review again. Okay, so 1 and 2 Samuel was written before the people went into captivity. Chronicles was written after they came back from captivity to remind the people of all that had taken place. And remember, Chronicles was written to prepare them to worship God during Ezra and Nehemiah's time when they were coming back, they were worshiping God. And so that it was written then, that's why Chronicles is an overview of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. Right, it's an overview of those books, a condensation kind of those books, because it's just reviewing it, capitalizing on certain things that dealt with their worship to be able to help them to be able to know how to worship God now that they come back, because it had been centuries, long, long time, and they didn't even know how to even worship God because they hadn't been there for 70 years, and even before that, they weren't worshiping God because they had turned away from God. And so they're reviewing all this. That's what the Chronicles was there for. So that's why the two accounts, virtually the same, but just in different situations there. Okay, Job 21:11.
Now they sent forth their little ones like a flock, and their children danced.
Okay, so this one here is just a plain statement. The kids were dancing. It was a happy time. It was a time of just, and the word that is used here means to jump for joy. It was a celebration of some sort. We're not giving any kind of details. He's just saying that the children of the wicked ones were leaping and dancing and had a happy celebration. Okay, so that's what that one was about. The next one is Psalm 30 in verse number 11. Psalm 30 in verse number 11 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. All right, so here again, he just says he's turned from mourning to dancing. The mourning is crying and dancing was the opposite of a time of joy. We don't have any details with it again. It's just a time of happiness. The word means to spin around for joy, and it was obviously worship, praising God for what God had done. But we aren't given any kind of details as to the events around it. Okay? You all in favor of doing a round three? All right. Garrett, why don't you take Psalm 149:3, Sean 150:4, Monica, Ecclesiastes 3:4, Melody, Isaiah 13:21, Jeremiah, I'll take that one. Why don't you take Lamentations 5:15? I'll take the Jeremiah ones. Okay, so let's go through it again. Where are we? Psalm 149.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and harp.
Okay, so again, they're praising God. And it's the children of Israel that are praising. And it means to spin around for joy. Right, so they were spinning and jumping and leaping for joy. So it's the same kind of word that we've been seeing right along. Psalm 150:4.
Sorry.
That's okay. 154. Okay, same kind of thing there. Praising God, spinning around, whirling around, and using this time with timbrels. And it's God's people that are doing that. Ecclesiastes 3:4. Okay, we have no context here. It's just simply referring to happiness, and the word that is used here means to jump for joy. So it's just a jumping, leaping for joy, and we don't really know who it's even talking about. All right, and then the next one, Isaiah 13:21.
The wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there.
Okay, the satyr is a goat, and so these aren't even people that are dancing here. It's just the goats that are up there leaping around, so it's not like he's up there putting on a show, but you know what I mean. He's just leaping around for as they do when they're just happy. Some of those kind of animals, it's fun to watch them when they're just all frolicking and happy and just having a good time. And so that's the example that is there. Then Jeremiah 31:4. Jeremiah 31:4. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in dances of them that make merry. All right, so just talking about them going forth with dances. In verse number 13, it says something similar. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both of young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. All right, so here we see, just again, it doesn't say a great deal about it. The word means to spin around for joy. It was over Judah's promised restoration. You don't really see that without really reading the context. But when Judah was coming back after the captivity, this was a time of rejoicing. And this is the context from which it was found. Okay, then Lamentations 5:15. 5:15.
The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning.
Okay, so he talks about their troubles had ended, and their dance, they were dancing. There was a time of joy. It was a time of happiness, spinning around again. We don't really know any of the context, whether they're rejoicing in the Lord or whether they're just happy that their troubles were ended. We're not given that kind of information in that. Now we move to the New Testament. Okay, so we just have five more here to go. And Garrett, why don't you take Matthew 11:17, and Monica, Matthew 14:6, Sean, Mark 6:22, Melody, Luke 7:32, and I'll take the last one. Okay, so Garrett, when you get it, you can go ahead and read it.
And saying, we have slipped into you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented.
Okay, so that first word is piped. It's the idea of they're playing their little pipes or flutes and things like that, and the kids were just, it's just a bunch of kids out in the street, they're playing, and the children were playing, and the streets there, and they were dancing. This word, this Greek word means, in fact, all but one of the Greek words in the New Testament means to dance in a row or a circle. So it's more of a circle-type dancing. There were probably like a bunch of kids holding hands and jumping up and down and going in circles and things of that nature. And they were, this was the situation there. They're just happy play. Matthew 14:6. Okay, so this was a situation, and you got to look at the context. All right, this the same word dance. It means to dance in a row or a circle, but just the context tells you very clearly that she pleased Herod. It wasn't that he was saying, oh, she's such a cute little girl. No, it was a sensual dance, and a very obviously sensual dance, and she pleased him in the wrong way, and he promised to give her anything she wanted, and what did she ask for? John's head. John the Baptist's head. All right, and the next verse is the very same thing from the book of Mark. Who did I give that one to? Okay, same thing there. Go ahead, Mark 6.
The daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. The king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to you.
Okay, again, same thing. A sensual type of a dance that pleased him, and he gave her what she wanted. Okay, and then Luke 7:32, Mel? Luke 7:32. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Luke 7:32.
They are likened to children, sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept.
Okay, this is the same thing that we saw there in Matthew. The children playing in the streets and dancing around and leaping for joy and having a good time together. Then the last one is in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 is the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And at the story of the lost son, we find down in verse number 25, and the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near nigh the house, he heard music and dancing. And he gets all upset because the little brother got a party when he came home, and he wasn't happy at all about that. So we don't know much about this dancing. All we know that it's a circular type of a dance that was used there. It was probably praising God. Remember, the father was rejoicing and praising God that his son was home. The big brother didn't like that because he was jealous. So as you look at the overall here, we see that most of the time that the word is used in the Bible, it's talking about praising God. The whole goal of the dance was not to praise the dancer. It had nothing to do with the dancer. It had to do with God. And the few times that it did have to do with the dancers wasn't good. All right? And it came out with a bad context and a bad result. All right, now, as we answer some questions here, how did the people in the Bible days commonly dance? Okay? When you look down through the list, what was the common description of the dance? Okay, they were spinning around and jumping for joy. Right, they're spinning and jumping for joy. And so you can write something of that nature in there so you don't forget that, or you can look on the chart. It's not that hard. Right, so they're spinning or leaping or and jumping for joy. Okay, so it was a time of rejoicing, a time of excitement, happiness. Now, how many Bible examples do we find of men and women dancing together? Around the calf. That's the only time. And that wasn't a good one. All right. So the most of the yes. So the men and women. It says the men and women were dancing in Exodus 32. Now whether they were dancing with each other or just all of them out there dancing at the same time, but in the context, especially when we see that it says that they were naked and they, that doesn't necessarily mean they didn't have any clothes on, but it means that they weren't dressed properly. Whatever. The whole context of it was not a good context, okay? And there's a possibility that the one in Jeremiah 31 might be of that nature as well. The young men and the old men were involved in that too. So whether there was, they were all together or not, or whether separate, that's a possibility as well, okay? Then number three, why was the dancing in Exodus 32 evil? Why was it evil? Well, not only the modesty, but what else?
Well, because they weren't really praising God.
Yeah, they thought that, they said they were, but they really weren't. They were dancing to a calf, an idol. And even though they may have called the idol Jehovah, you know, just mockery to God, because God had just got done telling them, Exodus chapter 20, make no images after anything at all. And then Aaron, of all people, he makes the image for them, and they sets it up, and they all dance around it. So just a terribly bad situation. Okay. Then number four, other than happy celebration, what was the most common purpose of the dancing in the Bible? The common purpose. It was praising God. That was the most common purpose of the dancing. Now, some other questions we can ask ourselves that I didn't leave blanks for. You can just ponder these things. When the dance is over, who gets the praise, God or the dancer? Now, that's an important thing to ask you. When you're trying to evaluate, is this dance good or bad? Who gets the praise? If, you know, even like in some of these dances that they have in churches today, you know, who gets the praise? If people applaud at the end of it, God didn't get the praise. The dancers got the praise. If people hoot and holler and say, you know, make cat calls and stuff like that, who got the praise? It wasn't God. It was them. Right? And so we need to remember that. That's a very important aspect, as it helps us determine what is right and what is wrong. Now, who watches the dance? Sorry, when one watches the dance, are his thoughts directed to the movements of the dancer or to the praise of God? See, these people that were dancing and leaping for joy, and when they crossed the Red Sea, the people were excited. I mean, it was a time of elation. They had just got across the Red Sea. The Egyptians were dead on the seashore. God had given them victory, and they were excited. They're leaping for joy, and nobody there is thinking, well, look at Miriam. Now, think of me. All right, who led this? Miriam did. How old was Miriam when she was out there leading the dances?
80.
At least about 83. About 83 at least. Because she was older than Moses.
Yeah, she's older than Moses.
So here's old 83-year-old Miriam out there leading the dances. You can be sure it wasn't something sensual. It was a joy and leaping, praising God. They were excited because of what God had done for them. And so their focus was on praising God. Now, when may dancing be right? Is it, if it truly glorifies God in manner, music, and motive? Right? If the dance truly glorifies God in manner, music, and motive. Right? Now, there's times that I'm sure that I have danced in that way. I didn't really think of it as being dancing at the time, but I remember several times when God did something just fantastic, and you just go for a walk and you just go, awesome, God, thank you for what you did. And you're just leaping and jumping and praising God for what God did. And anyway, that's exactly what they were doing. And I wasn't thinking to myself, boy, I'm out here dancing. No, I was just thinking, I'm excited about what God did. All right? And so if we can say that what we're doing is glorifying God in our manner, in our music, in our motive, then it's probably fine. Okay? Now, when would dancing be wrong? Well, if it glorifies the flesh or the self, it can't be right. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says we're to glorify God. He's created us and made us into His image, and we're His temple. We're to glorify Him. If unmarried men and women are touching, it can't be glorifying to God. 1 Corinthians 7:1 says it's good for men not to touch a woman. In the context there, it's talking about an unmarried couple touching each other. God says that's not right. If the dance rouses lustful desires, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace within the calling of the Lord out of a pure heart. Can't be right then. If the dress is immodest, 2:9 says that women are to dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And if the dancer is performing, then that can't be right. Matthew 23:12, I don't have that memorized, let me just flip over there. Matthew 23:12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. All right, so God said if we're doing it for our own praise, God said, I'm not impressed. God wants us to glorify Him, not ourselves. And then if anything about the dance or the atmosphere fails to pass God's proving test. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And God says, if it doesn't pass that test, don't do it. Now, these are things you can ponder over and meditate on and think about. The last one, number 5, does the dance honestly give thanks and glory to God alone? And you got Colossians 3:17 says we're to give Him the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to glorify God. Some things down at the bottom here that will just kind of help us. For dancing to please God, it must have these 8 things. It must have a right motive. The motive needs to be to praise God for His blessing, not the dancer. No dancer praise, okay? So no dancer praise. It needs to have a right message. The entire dance moves the observer to praise God. All right, so when you see the dance, the only thing you're thinking, you don't think, wow, she's cute. Or, you know, wow, look at her. Look at what she's got on her. What, you don't think those kind of thoughts. You think, God is awesome. And it's just causing you to praise God. So the message that comes across. The manner. Spinning and skipping and jumping. Not wriggling your hips or sensual twists. You know, women don't seem to understand. Well, maybe some women do understand. That's probably why they do it. But a lot of Christian women don't seem to understand, and girls, we need to teach the girls. If they start bending over and wiggling their bottom back and forth, that is not godly. That is not godly. That is drawing attention to the wrong things. And that's not what Miriam and these others were doing. They were jumping and leaping for joy. They were not up there jigging back and forth and wiggling themselves in a sensual way. So we need to make sure that we're careful with that. The manner needs to be right. The music needs to be right. It's not rock music. No contemporary Christian music. That's not the music we dance to. That's not the kind of thing. Remember, if you read the whole story back there in Exodus 32, you find that when Joshua and Moses came down from the mountain, Joshua said, there's a noise in the camp. It sounds like a noise of war. I can't tell whether it's a cry of victory or a cry of defeat. And they got closer and said, no, it's the noise of music. Now, I don't think they were singing Amazing Grace. You know? You know what I'm talking about. All right? If they were singing something that was melodious and pleasing to God, they wouldn't have suspected that it was war. So there's something obviously not so good about their music. Okay? Then 5, needs to have the right members, not men and women together. Anytime they had men and women together, it poses a problem, especially if, you know, they're actually dancing with each other. Then the right modesty, you know, no bare legs, bare bellies, shoulders and short skirts, all that kind of stuff. It draws attention to the wrong things. It's not what God wants. God's not getting the glory in those situations. And then the right morals, no touching or kissing. And that's often involved in modern dancing. And then the right mood or the atmosphere, should be no drinking, swearing, unbelievers there. You know, if any of that kind of an atmosphere, unbelievers don't know how to honor God. They're not there for honoring God. They're there for all the wrong motives. So you take these things home with you and think about them. And, you know, perhaps you've long settled the issue of dancing, but there's a lot of Christians that haven't settled the issue. And I think that we need to really look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And cement it down in our hearts and minds so that we know where we stand on it.